It's great to share with you this morning, and a very big thank you to Marlene. I don't have to do that reading now this morning. You don't like to get that with short notice, with all those names. There is a purpose for why we read all those names this morning, but let me pray as we come to God's Word this morning. Holy Spirit, you are here with us, and we open God's Word today, and our prayer would be, come, Holy Spirit. Come afresh in our lives, open our ears, open our hearts, open our eyes, that we might see you afresh and we might hear afresh in our own lives your gracious invitation to mission, that you call each one of us, locally and globally, in a beautiful but broken world, that we might embody the good news of Jesus. And so speak to us from your word, we would pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. A young Sydney police officer, Mel, was at the airport just two weeks ago, ready for the adventure of a lifetime. She got to the airport, and in this new world we live in, of course, she needed to be tested before she could fly out. And she tested positive. For years, she'd been preparing to go to the Silk Road, where you as a church have supported our workers, and we're very thankful for that. There was a short conversation with the authorities there at the airport. Then something miraculous happened. They said, we'll give you 30 minutes and we'll test you again. They tested her three more times before she got on the plane, and she tested negative, negative, negative. And today, Mel, a young Sydney police officer, is chasing different dreams on the Silk Road. Why has she gone to work among the K people? Why has she gone to join other families who serve there that you've supported with Baptist Mission Australia? Mel has gone there because she has embraced God's gracious invitation to mission. She's an ordinary person. She'd be the first to tell you that if she was standing here before you, a young, fit, energetic police officer, but a young woman who's embraced God's love in her life and who is passionate to serve him. Mel's story is on one hand extraordinary, but on the other hand it's ordinary, because I delight in the reality that God uses ordinary people like me, the mission of God in the hands of ordinary people. In the 16 verses that we heard read for us today, if you want to take this passage home over a cup of coffee and learn those names again, you get 27 names. 27 names of ordinary people that Paul celebrates who've embraced God's gracious invitation to mission. I've got one of my kids here, Arlington, with me. And Arlington often says to me, Dad, I wish you'd given me a different name. I say to him, go and read Romans 16. I could have given you one of those. I don't know about you, but I have bypassed this passage in Romans many times, but you can see now that I've been spending quite a bit of time in it. Why? Because I've discovered what a marvelous chapter of Scripture this is. It comes as a PS. It comes at the end of Paul's kind of grand letter to the Roman church. It's so full of kind of rich theology, so much we learn about God and humanity and grace and sin and who Jesus is and the cross, so kind of rich and deep. And then suddenly we get to Romans 16, and it's like Paul says, and here is the PS, here's the postscript. Here are ordinary people that I want to remember and celebrate who were partners with me in ministry. We got a handwritten letter with a stamp on the envelope in our letterbox the other day. I had to explain to my 8-year-old what it was. A handwritten letter. She said to me, Dad, do people still write those things? A handwritten letter. When was the last time you wrote a handwritten letter? It might have been yesterday. It could have been a long time ago. When I looked at the letter, I was reminded of when I was a child living in Newcastle and my cousins lived in Canberra. I would write to them and they would write back to me. I would write to them and they would write back to me. And it was who could have the most PSs. You know, P.S. I miss you. P.S.S. I love you. P.S.S.S. I love you more. You know, P.S.S.S. I can't wait to see you. And we would send letter after letter after letter. And really, that's what we've got here. We've got Paul's P.S., his postscript, as he celebrates the joy of being in community, as he celebrates partnership. In 16 verses, we get 27 names. If you go away and read the passage, you'll get all those different names. Some you will have heard of, some you might not have heard of, like Ampliatus. Who was Ampliatus? Ampliatus took the good news to Bulgaria, and today in Bulgaria they still sing songs that celebrate him. The mission of God in the hands of ordinary people. As we look at each of those names, we remind ourselves that we are part of that gracious invitation. Yes, Mel travels to the Silk Road and joins David and Eliza there and Ben and Petra in their families in a country where so few have understood or heard the gospel in a way that makes sense to them, where there are few vibrant faith communities following Jesus. But just as Mel steps out across the world, of course, you and I are invited to step out today in Lilydale, in Blackburn South, where I live, across Melbourne, across our nation, across the world, that we celebrate that we are invited to embrace God's gracious invitation to mission together. And we remind ourselves that it's not my mission, it's not Lilydale's mission, it's not Mel's mission. It takes a great weight off my shoulders to remind myself what I am called to do is to step out and to be obedient and faithful and know that God is already at work in our worlds. The God who can bring three negative COVID tests at the airport. That God is already at work in your lives. That God puts people in our local communities around us. And if our eyes and our ears and our hearts are open, God is already at work in people that we are in relationship with, just as God is at work across the world. Mel will join our K team in the Silk Road, people in our guide whose faces you won't see because of the secure location in which they work, where there are so few followers of Jesus. And she'll join Petra. Petra, a young woman from balmy Townsville in North Queensland. I was up there just 2 weeks ago and it was hot. It's always hot in Townsville. And there is Petra, an occupational therapist with a heart for children with disabilities, who's gone the other side of the world to a country where there is still a strong shame culture and where parents who have children with disabilities still push them to the margins of society, shamed by them. And here is this young Australian woman with a heart for kids, an occupational therapist who's been learning the local language and who got up just 1 month ago and spoke at a national health conference in the local language to a standing ovation of health professionals in that country, a broken health system, who approached this young Australian woman and who said, "Can you help us fix this? We want to see children treated differently in this country." The mission of God in the hands of ordinary people. Who knows where that story will go? Who knows where that story will go? One of my colleagues on our leadership team, Andy, travelling over there in a couple of weeks to see how might we together as Australian Baptists set up a platform, a project that we can fund that could see Petra make a significant impact in that country for Jesus. Mel's name could be on this list. Petra's name could be on this list. Your name could be on this list. Because today we celebrate the privilege that God uses ordinary people like me. You know, I get up in the morning, I look in the mirror, and it doesn't matter if I like what I see, that's what I see. You know, I've got older kids in New South Wales and younger kids here, and my eight-year-old daughter says every day to me, "Dad, I think you're the oldest dad around." I go to school and she's like, "Dad, I think you're the oldest dad here." You know, I am who I am, but you know what? Every day I remind myself that I'm privileged as a child of God to have the gracious invitation and mission in my hands, someone ordinary like me. Can I remind you to grab hold of that call afresh on your life today? That it isn't just about Mel and the Silk Road or isn't about those that you serve around the country and around the world, and I celebrate that you do, but it's that God wants to use each and every one of us in our own backyards, across the street, across the world. We celebrate Baptist Mission Australia May Mission Month, and our theme for May Mission Month this year is crossing the street. Because we want to remind our Baptist movement across Australia, as we're called to cross the world, we're called to cross the street. Many of the names that you read in this passage in Romans 16 didn't actually cross the world, but they crossed the street. They took the gospel to their local community, some further across nations, some across the world. And each and every one of us called to discover our own calling. So you look at this passage and you see 27 names and you dig a little bit deeper and you find that these people are called to partnership together. That's what you're called to here. Partners in the gospel. 27 names, but called to partnership. You go away and read the passage and you see they're called co-workers, fellow servants. There's a sense of community, of richness in relationship. Ordinary people called by God, called into partnership. And then we go a layer deeper, if you go away again and read the passage, and they celebrate that they are the beloved. They love each other. There's kindness towards each other. There is unity. There is a sense that they serve Jesus, but they serve each other in Jesus' name. That reminder that we're called to community, that reminder that we're called to unity, that mission flows out of the heart of God, but mission is at its best when we are a people who love each other, when we're unified, when we care for one another. 27 names, people called to partnership, people called to be co-workers in the gospel, called to love each other, and then we see around them that they are saturated in Christ's love as they serve him. And they're called to mission, the gracious invitation to mission. I want to thank you for your partnership with us at Baptist Mission Australia over many years. We can only do what we do with the support of churches like yourselves, individuals and communities who partner with us. And just as we saw a whole lot of different magazines held up here today, humbly, we would recognize that we are just one small part in what God is doing. There are so many other wonderful Christian mission organizations and mission partners that you support. And again, I commend you for doing that. We look around the room and we see the world with us. And that reminder that your prayers and your giving allow others to do what they do in Jesus' name. Recently, I got another letter in the mail. It was on my desk in my office in Hawthorne. I started in this role almost 2 years ago, as I said, with great plans of what the first year might look like. I had 2 days in the office, and then we closed the office. And I think I've been back in our office probably about a dozen times in 2 years. Only 2 weeks ago at Ashburton Baptist Church, for the first time in 2 years, our whole national team came together. We looked at each other and we thought, that's how you look off Zoom. Right? My whole world had been on Zoom. I'm looking forward to soon traveling to Africa and seeing our teams there, because it will be great to be on the ground in the flesh. But here was a letter, and I opened the letter and it was a little hard to read. It had been written with, I sense, an old shaking hand. It had been written by a man in his 80s. From a Baptist church in Western Australia, who was writing to tell me that for 62 years he'd been married and his wife had sadly recently passed away. There was a sense of grief in the letter. But he wanted me to know that for 62 years they had prayed for our workers around the world with a focus on Africa. He said, I don't think a day went by when my wife did not sit down with a cup of tea to pray for Baptist Mission Australia workers. And for 62 years we've given. And he said, I might not be able to give as much now, but we are still passionately supported, committed to what you are doing. And to kind of wipe a tear away from my eye, because I was reminded that it's humble, passionate, obedient, sacrificial people like that a man who would be unknown to everyone probably here today, an ordinary man with the mission of God in his hands, committed to supporting what God is doing around the world. And grab hold of this. He said, we pray regularly for Africa. So here was this handwritten letter. And as I put the letter down, an email pinged up on my screen. And attached to the email was a video clip that a 16-year-old son of one of our workers in Africa had filmed. And he filmed his dad telling a story. I was struck by the technology. Here's the letter and here's the email. And I had to work out still how to open the Google Drive attachment. And then suddenly here's Tim. Tim and Melanie from North Queensland. Tim and Mel and their boys, Jared and Clayton, have spent the last 12 years in Malawi. I was in Townsville with them a couple of weeks ago. They're about to fly back tomorrow. They work amongst the Yao, a least reached people group in Malawi and Mozambique. And on this video, Tim tells a story. He tells a story about a young man called Dougal. And Dougal had come to faith in Christ. But Dougal hadn't come to faith in Christ through one of our Baptist Mission Australia workers, but through one of the Yao, now a second generation believer. 20 years ago, there were very few Yao followers of Jesus. Today, we see Yao leaders making disciples who are making disciples. We see God at work in Malawi in ways that we hadn't expected. And it was going to be Dougal's first Bible study. He was going to lead a Bible study for the first time in his language, in his culture, in his way. As people sat on the red dirt, some of the pictures you saw there today on the screen. For some reason, Dougal decided to pick a passage in Ezekiel for his first Bible study. He sat there nervously next to his wife, and Tim tells the story on the video. Tim says, as Dougal was leading, there was Bubba Jonathan, who brought Dougal to Christ. And as Dougal leads with a big smile on his face, Tim does this. Tim literally steps back, quietly stepping back with tears in his own eyes, realizing the baton had been passed and realizing that his role had changed. He was there now as a coach, a mentor, a supporter. And he looks at the screen then and says, but I can only do what I do because of the partnership of Australian Baptist. And suddenly here was a video celebrating God at work amongst the Yao. And here was a letter from an old man who for 62 years had prayed for Africa. That's partnership, isn't it? That's the mission of God in the hands of ordinary people. 27 names. Committed to community, committed to loving each other, committed to partnership, and seeing God at work as they embrace mission. And then very quickly this morning, I'm struck by this time after time after time as I come to this passage. We read all these names and a sense of God at work in terms of mission, a sense of Paul celebrating what these people can do together as if he was writing to Leedale Baptist Church and affirming all the different gifts in this room and all that you were doing. And then what is the first thing he says after that? In verse 17, suddenly in his PS, he moves on from names and in verse 17, watch out for people who cause divisions. Watch out for people who are interested in serving their own personal interest more than serving the Lord. Isn't that quite powerful? That we celebrate unity, we celebrate community, we celebrate God at work amongst these 27 named people. And the first thing Paul then says is, be careful of division. Foster unity. Foster community. Every one of us has a role to play in fostering unity and community here at Lilydale, that you might be a church effective on mission locally and globally. It's true for me. I can tell you today that where we have a few teams struggling with relationships, we don't see the fruit that we see in teams that are healthy and in community together. It's a fact of life, isn't it? But it's a humble reminder to check ourselves, to check our own motives, to check my motives, to check my interests. Are my interests the interests of Christ or my own? And then this beautiful finish to this PS to this postscript letter. Here are these people that Paul has named, people he thanks, some for hospitality, some for taking the gospel to new places, some who have housed him, some who have fed him, some who have financially supported him, some who have prayed with him, all with different tasks. And as Paul celebrates their partnership, we get to verse 25 and the last two verses of this passage, and we're reminded what it's all about. Verse 25, now all glory to God. Now all glory to God. Verse 27, all glory to the only wise God through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Leslie Newbegin says that when we embrace God's invitation to mission, mission becomes a doxology of worship to our God. Do you realize that afresh? That when you step out tomorrow in simple ways, as you share the good news by word and deed with a friend or a neighbor, as you're engaged in local ministries here at Lilydale, as you pray and support workers across the world, you join with the church across the globe in bringing praise and worship to God. In bringing praise and worship to God. I know that Freely, Freely song that we sang today. I grew up in a little Presbyterian church called St. Ninian's in Newcastle. It no longer exists. Really small little church community where I can still picture Paul on his organ playing that song. And it was a little organ, and we'd get the interference of the local taxi service. So sometimes as Paul played the hymn, you'd get a call for cab 24 to Wall's End. And you know, I came to faith in that small church community, mainly with people who were double my age, and a little youth group got going, and so many of us went into ministry. And I can think about the names of Mrs. Box and Mrs. Hart and Mr. Graham, and those that made a difference in my life, because they're these people. They're the ordinary people who've embraced God's mission. They invested in me in that little Presbyterian church, and we would sing Freely, Freely. And I learnt the catechisms there as a 12 or 13 year old. And the first catechism I had to learn as a Presbyterian, what is the chief end of humanity? What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him. Our calling afresh across our Baptist movement here in Lilydale today and in churches across our country to partner together, to celebrate partnership, to celebrate community, to foster unity, to embrace God's gracious invitation to mission, that we might day by day by day bring a doxology of worship through the way that we live our lives. That's what Peter's doing. Peter's not somewhere around the world. Peter's on the northern suburbs of Melbourne. And let me finish with his story today. I had the privilege of meeting him recently. He's a man in his 50s, he's single. He's always felt that he wasn't kind of cut out for evangelism. And it became this kind of heavy weight upon him, where basically he retreated into not doing very much at all when it came to sharing his faith or serving others. He actually came to a Baptist Mission Australia seminar long before I was involved in the organisation. And he was able to rethink mission. He was able to remind himself that it's not about Peter, but it's about God at work in Peter's world. And how does Peter open his eyes to opportunities? And so he decided he'd seek to keep his eyes and heart open for what God was doing. Just as the pandemic hit here in March in 2020, a young Vietnamese man moved in next door to Peter. Couldn't speak very much English. And there they were, kind of locked in their houses side by side. And Peter thought, maybe this is God at work. Maybe it's time to step out in faith, step out in courage. So what did Peter do? He simply began a conversation over the fence. Challenging at times with kind of talking with some broken English, but Peter began to hear some more of his neighbour's story. I'll call his neighbour Mark. And Peter and Mark began a conversation over the fence. They got to know each other through lockdown. Peter could smell often the cooking that Mark was doing next door. Peter, in the first time he was able to get out of the house, went to the local library and borrowed books about Vietnam and Buddhism. He'd never read about Vietnam or Buddhism before, but he read and learnt some of the culture that Mark had grown up in. Mark had associated racism with the church, and so there were barriers that needed to be broken down. A friendship developed. Peter began to mow Mark's lawn. They began to share some food across the fence. When we finally came out of lockdown, Peter invited Mark into his house and Peter cooked Mark's favourite Vietnamese dish. And Mark gave Peter a 9 out of 10. You know, today, this afternoon, in Peter's lounge room, Peter will meet with Mark and he's found 3 other men from a local Vietnamese church. And the 5 of them sit together and in Mark's language, they read the scriptures. And Mark is learning more about what does it mean to follow Jesus. Yes, we can go across the world, but we can also go across the street. And it begins with faith afresh, doesn't it? It begins with courage. It begins in the most simple ways. As Peter said, God, I want to embrace afresh your call to mission. And Mark is a changed man as a result. May it be today that we remind ourselves that God uses ordinary people like me, like you. And we're privileged and esteemed to have the good news of Jesus in our hands that we might share by word and deed. And may we do it in partnership. May we do it in community. May we foster unity, that together we might sing that doxology of praise to our God. Let me pray. Father God, I want to thank you for this church community. I want to thank you for its heart for mission over many, many years. Hundreds, thousands of stories could be told of how this church community has blessed others locally, across the country, across the world. And so we thank you afresh this morning for your gracious invitation to mission, that you call us, you use us. May it be that we're refreshed in that call this morning. May it be that we celebrate it in our own lives. Maybe for some of us it will mean taking new steps, fresh steps in obedience to you, that we want to be available and used by you locally and in supporting mission across the world. And Father God, I pray for this church community. I pray for its partnership together with workers across the world, and I pray for its local mission. May you continue to use this church here in Lilydale. Foster community afresh. Foster unity afresh, I pray, Lord Jesus, that together we might step out today and bring a doxology of praise to your name. Amen.